Good morning and welcome to New Orleans, to the New Orleans Imperative. This is your host, Renard Sanders. And for those of you all that are joining us for the first time, we're here every Monday morning to talk about the unpopular truths in this publicly funded private school system. For those of you all, once again, we'd like to welcome our new listeners and welcome our old listeners back. If you are transitioning to a computer, you can listen to us online at www.wbok1230am.com. That's www.wbok1230am.com. For the last 4 years, matter of fact, it's about 4.5 years since we've had this program, there has not been a week that goes by where we don't get questions and concerns from parents about the drastically changed public education landscape. And these questions come not just via the air and some of the questions that you hear that callers call it and ask or talk about. But it also comes in via the internet and also via the U.S. mail here at WBOK. With that, myself and others have seen a great need to offer some assistance to parents as they try to navigate this system. We know that this system has a lot of cracks in it, a lot of problems in it. There are a lot of different governing boards and those kinds of things. So it is pretty challenging for parents. And then we also know that there are many people that are operating schools that are not necessarily familiar with federal and state policy. With that, the New Orleans Imperative has joined with the Educational Equity Roundtable and a number of other groups to have School Justice Week to begin to start this week with a series of events. Here to talk with us about those events is Karen Harper-Royal from the Pyramid Parent Resource Center, and we're going to talk about what's going on this week as it relates to school justice. And while it is school justice because many parents are having issues and problems, and really, you know, their rights are being violated, there is also a quest to need to know how to navigate the system, which we think is very, very important in terms of choosing a charter school, in terms of how to deal with different issues around this, you know, mostly privatized public school district that we have here in New Orleans. So we would like to welcome back to the New Orleans Imperative, Karen Harper-Royal. Good morning, Karen.
Good morning.
And why don't you tell us a little bit about what drove this particular idea for these events that are going on this year and hopefully will be going on in years to come, and what exactly you expect to get out of it?
Well, as you know, we have the New Orleans Education Equity Roundtable has the school justice line. In fact, throughout most of the summer, we ran ads on WBOK for the school justice line. And as we were getting the calls in, and even before the ads started to run, when we were getting calls in, there was a wide range of issues people would call in about, but mostly people would call in about a need to solve a problem for a child who's currently in the public school system in New Orleans. But we've had calls from a teacher who was just really frustrated, had lost her job because mm-hmm. of many of the changes. Mm-hmm. Call from former students. The calls were quite interesting, but, you know, especially with the parent calls and some of the problems, you begin to hear them repeat themselves. Yeah. It became clear that there really is a need to not just help put out that current fire, but help people to connect their current pain to the overall reason why this exists. Why are these problems repeating themselves? So we really thought that it was important for people to have a good understanding of how we got here in terms of what this school system looks like with all the different types of schools. You mentioned all the different boards that are running schools. And, you know, here we are 8 years after Katrina. You know, I think sometimes maybe we do get too comfortable and think everybody knows how this happens. But everybody doesn't know how this happened. Or maybe they haven't put all the dots together, connected mm-hmm. all the dots. Mm-hmm. Or some people may think they know how mm-hmm. it is we got mm-hmm. here. Mm-hmm. But they may actually be incorrect in their assumption. And so understanding how you got to this situation helps you to understand how far you're going to have to go to solve some of these problems. So while you may solve a problem of trying to find a school for your child this week, you know, next month you may come up with a whole other problem that's related to this whole landscape. And it's really important to connect with other people who are also working on some of these issues. I know as a parent, when you're going through stuff with the schools, sometimes you think you're all alone.
And
you're not alone. And it is important to understand that there may be some people out there, some organizations out there working on those kinds of problems. Let's say you're dealing with school suspension issues. Well, the Juvenile Justice Project and Southern Poverty Law Center are working on some of those issues, and they're going to be at School Justice Week on Wednesday.
Great.
And so it's important to connect parents up with other people and other groups who are addressing some of these problems in a systemic way. Whereas for a parent, we always have to solve that problem for our own child.
Mm-hmm.
But if we really want to put an end to this kind of thing, we really need to move past our individual issue and work and speak collectively with others to solve the problem for all children.
So, let me talk about some of the calls that I get here on air. I got a call a couple of weeks ago about the bus didn't show up and the kids were left out on a corner. I get that a lot. I have received phone calls relative to, you know, they don't want to admit my child into this school. You know, I receive phone calls relative to, as you said, suspensions. I receive phone calls relative to how do we make some changes. Some parents are upset because they are, you know, the kids are standing at the bus stop at, you know, 6 o'clock in the morning and coming home at 5:30. So there's a wide range of things. And I think we can say that we have not solved much of the academic problems that we had pre-Katrina. And we've added some problems to that. I think the difficulty is that there's nowhere for parents to go. They don't feel like they can get any help in trying to solve that problem. Whereas before there was a duly elected board, and so, you know, it operated a little bit differently. So, you know, have you, from your vantage point at Pyramid, I think that you guys have focused on special needs and those kinds of things. And that seems to be a biggie as it relates to children's kids not being serviced. Could you talk about that a little bit?
Well,
because some parents or some listeners may be experiencing that, and they really don't know, you know, what to do, and this could help them. So maybe you could tell us some of the issues that parents are facing on a daily basis.
Well, you know, generally, special education students, pre-Katrina was about 9% of the population, and now it's anywhere from 10 to 12% of the public school population.
So students. You mean the special needs population has grown?
Yes, it's a little bit larger, and some schools have very, very large percentages of special needs students, especially now that we're down to only a handful of recovery school district schools left. So actually, I am seeing that some charters are have a slightly larger percentage of special needs students.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, the devil is in the details when you go in and see those categories of special needs students, and that's a whole nother conversation.
Yeah.
But, yes, at Pyramid, we get calls from parents who are dealing with just the fallout from being in a system that looks like this, still searching for schools. I cannot believe we are still dealing with schools, with parents of children with special needs not being able to find a school, especially if you're looking at a time, let's say right now, if you, for whatever reason, need to find a new school for your child. You may have to go to several different schools to see if they even have the capabilities of serving your child in the way that you think your child should be served. Then your next problem is going to be, if you find a school you like, do they have space for your child? I was talking to two parents of children with severe disabilities a couple of weeks ago, and they're already expressing some angst because their children are going to be moving to the next level from the K-8 kind of a school into a high school, and the parents are like, I don't know where I'm going to send my child. And, you know, if this system is so much better, it needs to be better for children with disabilities also. You know, a reform system was never meant to perpetuate or make worse some of the same problems the previous system had. And I remember right before Hurricane Katrina, I think it was August 21st, 2005, at Pyramid, we were on our staff retreat over at Gulfside Assembly in Waveland, Mississippi. And we were frustrated with the state of special education in New Orleans Parish school system.
Mm-hmm.
Never in my wildest dreams did I think 8 years later I would be longing for the good old days of special education and OPSB in New Orleans Parish school board system. But actually we get the fewest calls from people whose children are in OPSB direct run schools.
But there's a centralized system to help parents and assist with placement and needs, and the parents are not trying to figure it out for themselves.
And most of the time, I won't say 100% of the time, but most of the time when I have, over the last 8 years, when I have had a case where the child attended a direct run school, we've been able to work out the situation by involving folks from the central office. But the kinds of problems we face now for children with disabilities, mm-hmm. the kinds of problems we face now for children with disabilities, we simply did not have those kinds of problems before, like needing a school period or the constant turnover in teachers and special ed coordinators. And, you know, we don't even get to dealing with the kinds of problems we used to have because we have all these new problems. Reform should not be creating new problems for your most vulnerable children.
Yeah. Well, you know, as a former administrator, middle school and high school principal, when a child was, even a child that was evaluated and had gotten a certain classification, immediately support and appraisal would come in and then begin ensuring that the services were at the school. And if this child was leaving and going to another school, that parent would know in April which school they would be going to, who that teacher would be. Particularly, at John McDonough, I think I had 6 classes of autism. So those parents knew from McDonough 28 and other feeder schools who their teacher was going to be. And they visited the school prior to the upcoming school year, you know.
Well, let me tell you another important distinction between the way special education operated prior to Katrina to what we have today. There was always a separation between school administration and support and appraisal staff, a separation between the overall district administration and support and appraisal. Support and appraisal was able to really be independent in conducting its evaluations of students, and that was so important you did not want that area to be influenced by administrative rules that would maybe have them not make the best decision for children.
As a player in that, you know, by being the principal, they basically laid out to the principal what was going to happen with that child. You know, there are federal laws that that they ensured, and also those students' rights would not be violated. And that was something that really was a little bit too technical, but it was definitely too technical for school staff to deal with.
But never as a principal did you have control over the support appraisal people.
I don't see that separation
anymore.
And the other thing is that even when we had a lot of kids with autism in my attendance zone that were destined to come there, they came and talked with me first about possible space or if it wasn't going to be my school, another school, right? So we kind of worked hand in hand in that. And so I think I went from 3 classes to 6 classes, you know, during my tenure.
But I don't want to give people the impression that the school justice line is just about special education.
Yeah,
because it absolutely isn't.
Yeah, because we got to talk about other things,
but
too.
But one of the calls I got that really educated me and began to make me look more into what's going on was we had a grandparent call in and talk about this issue of a student getting a waiver of their LEAP test in eighth grade and what that means as this child moves onto a high school campus, what that means for graduation and the kinds of diplomas. She was concerned that they had to sign this paper that basically said that the diploma this child was going to get, and this was not a special needs child, but the diploma this child was going to get was not going to be the kind of diploma you can go to a 4-year college with.
Wow.
And I really never thought about that.
But and see, that's new policy. That was, did not exist when I was an administrator.
And
that's a whole different, way of doing things that you would, relegate this child to.
Well, on Wednesday.
Particularly when the parent or the grandparent.
On Wednesday, we're going to be talking. We're going to be talking about diploma options. Yeah. In fact, on tomorrow, State Superintendent John White is going to announce some new diploma options information. And we will have that information hot off the presses. And we will talk about that on Wednesday at our parent toolbox night. But that's just an indication of how hearing what comes through the school justice line has driven this event.
Yeah, well, let's take our first call, and then let's talk a little bit more about what's going to be going on tomorrow, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday this week. We're going to take Reverend Calhoun first. Good morning, Reverend Calhoun.
Morning, Doctor. Good morning, Mrs. Royal, and how are we?
Good morning,
okay.
Reverend
Doing
Calhoun.
Okay.
We're wonderful.
Well, I just wanted to call and encourage people to come out to the
Justice Week. Uh-huh.
The School Justice Week this week. One of the topics I think that people may be interested in is the push-out that's going out on these schools right now.
Uh-huh.
Absolutely.
Think,
we're going to be talking about that on Wednesday.
Carver, RSD got a 45% push-out rate, and I think the 9th and 10th grade Carver has a 54% push-out rate right now.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's
so
amazing.
Parents need to be aware about their children being put out of schools for little or nothing.
Yes, Reverend Calhoun, we're going to have someone from the Southern Poverty Law Center who's also going to talk about this report that the Juvenile Justice Project, JJPL, just put out about those school suspension rates. And I just want to take this quick moment to encourage people to call the school justice line and register, because, yes, we want you to come out, but we really want you to register to come out so that we can plan properly, make sure we have enough food for everybody. So if folks are planning to attend School Justice Week, please call 504-365-3006, and you can leave a message. If you leave your email address, I will email the link to register. If you don't have an email address, I will call you back, and I will register you myself. But please register for School Justice Week. That Wednesday night, all the nights are really great nights, but I'm really excited about the information we're going to be sharing with people as we talk through solutions for some of these problems. But
so, Reverend Calhoun, you know, I know you very much involved from the lower Ninth Ward School Group in the Carver situation. What are some of the things that you're hearing from the kids and the parents in that community about, you know, suspensions and expulsions at this particular school, and what are the cries that you're hearing?
Well, I had one young man that plays on the football team for Carver say to me that if you say God bless you after a child sneezes, you get a demerit for talking in class. Okay? And as you know, so many demerits leads to a suspension.
Okay, so they're on some kind of merit system. Okay.
Right.
Okay.
So it's interesting are we trying to control children or control to that level that if you speak when you're not supposed to, just to say God bless you, that you're going to now find yourself penalized?
Yeah.
There's
a
lot of issues that I find as I speak to the kids and speak to children about I mean, I spoke to one group of children about transcripts. And they're telling me that what's on their transcripts is they have on their transcripts classes that they haven't taken. So you people need to come out and find out what's really going on at their school. Because we went through this all last year, and then when it came down to graduation time, a lot of children, a lot of parents were disappointed because they didn't know what was going on at the school. So I'm encouraging parents to come out to make sure that they become a part of that, they become more aware of what's going on at schools.
Absolutely. Aware and also how they can participate in solutions.
Exactly. We have some real interesting challenges going on. And if we don't sit down here now and start addressing these issues, because I do feel once the money runs out of the charter system, those folks are going to get up and walk away. And they're going to dump these schools back on us. And they're going to tell us that, oh, now that there's no more profit in it, what we can do. Doc, I'm finding too many issues going on with these folks.
Mm-hmm.
So at
mm-hmm.
some point, yeah, the parent has to get involved with what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And we are providing the resources. I mean, you guys are providing the resources that they need to understand how to get involved.
Gotcha.
So,
well, that's interesting. You know, I get a lot of calls here at the radio station, you know, through the New Orleans Imperative of many, the rules are just overbearing for kids. You know, we want kids to, you know, behave and not be disruptive and those kinds of things. But, you know,
but they're bringing this to a penitentiary level. If you listen at some of these, I don't know what to call them, these ideals that they're trying to push at the kids, where you can't speak, you can't walk the line, and all that. That sound more penitentiary to me than collegiate.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what, although we're going to be talking about suspensions, there is something else going on in schools that I'm just now finding out about, so I'm not going to mention the school name till I get absolute verification. But it is my understanding that one of these charter school franchises in New Orleans are taking students from all of their schools that they operate, and they have them on one those students who they might otherwise have suspended, they have, or even expelled, they have a small setting on one of their campuses off to the side where they have a special program for these kids, and they don't even come to school a whole day. They come to school later, and they leave earlier, and it's not really a real academic program, but the numbers will make them look better in that they're not suspending as many kids.
Oh.
But the kids are not getting a proper education,
and
I'm still looking into the details about this program. But if there are any parents out there whose children are going to school for less than a full school day, please call the school justice line at 504-365-3006, because that is absolutely illegal whether or not you have special needs. If the child has an IEP because they have special needs and they're in this program, unless that IEP is written to reflect that, they are violating federal law. But it also is simply not good for most students who have special needs to get only a partial day education. So, and I had heard that some of these schools were having kids coming to their regular campus letting them go home every day at 12 o'clock. But now this particular charter chain has decided that we'll just have, you know, if we got 8 or 9 kids throughout our whole network of charter schools, we'll just bring them over here. They're totally isolated from the rest of the school campus. They don't go to lunch with them. It's like, I would say, almost solitary confinement.
Yeah, well, that's certainly unethical and illegal, which you just described.
And
if that's true,
it seems that they have came in to say that they know better of how to educate our children than we do. And when I look back over it, Doc, as being a product of public schools, I think we did pretty well.
Well, I think they probably know better how to make children disappear than we do. And yeah. I think that's part of their game plan is to pull out the more challenging children and pull them out of the regular education setting. And then they take those kids they feel they can improve test scores with, and they educate them. But those same children for whom their test results got the school on the failing list to begin with, which made it possible for the school to be chartered, that same category of student is continuing to be pushed aside and pushed, literally aside.
Well, you know, and it goes back to, you know, the original purpose of the reforms was to work with the kids with the greatest need. And it appears as if we have established a system, and not just at the school that you talked about, but there are other schools. There's one particular high school, one particular charter group that chartered a high school with 400 kids and now has three different schools in it. So, you know, the schools that they're going to report are the kids that, you know, are generally on level are doing well, while the other kids, you know, are separated. So I think that may be happening a little widespread, maybe not as blatant as you just described, Karen, but there is evidence that, you know, many of these charter schools have three different schools, and the kids that are behind are put in a, what's called a transitional program and have their own principal and those kinds of things. So they are really hiding.
And it's interesting
kids.
To find out, just, you know, because I've been to several committee, finance committee meetings and asked several charter operators just how much money people are really making, the CEOs and the financial managers and all that. And it's just so difficult to find out what the salary range is.
Well, you know, they, you know, many of these institutions, public institutions, when it's politically convenient, and you asking a question when it's, that's not politically convenient, you know. Now, you know, if we want to talk about issuing out money and issuing out Title I money, then they all are very much public institutions. But other than that,
so
you know,
we can't get an aggregated cost of what each one of these charter operators are really making.
Yeah, I think that, for instance, with the group that runs Carver, you need to make a request to whoever the
group
is.
All that's been done.
And they won't give it to you. Then I think you need to file.
We cannot find out with people. We can't even find out what the racial makeup of that group is.
Well, I think what needs to happen at that point is that you need to report them to the state and then consider, you know, filing legal action against them, which, you know, and unfortunately, why do you need to do that with a public agency that doesn't want to give you the budget of your tax dollars? I just don't understand that.
They put a budget out. They just don't segregate it and tell you who makes what.
Oh, no.
They don't tell you how many people they have working for.
I mean,
it's interesting that this type of thing is going on, but again, School Justice Week brings us back to getting real justice about what is it really costing us now?
Yeah. Well, that's a good question.
You know, and I don't see those numbers being displayed anywhere.
Yeah, that's a very good question.
Well, actually going to be sharing some information on that Wednesday night again about how parents, what your rights are in terms of getting access to that kind of information.
Okay.
And how folks can get that information.
What about the boards that makes up these organizations? Will there be any conversation concerning parents' involvement into these type of boards?
Well, it's not a specific agenda item, but the way each night is structured, people will be able to submit information that is of particular interest to them. And you can, when they sign up online for School Justice Week, we also ask what are the areas that are of interest. And then especially on night three, on Thursday night, as we begin to have discussions about how do we move forward? You know, I think that's one of those things that we can certainly talk together among ourselves and plan some next steps on how do we move forward. We're trying to get that to be a reality. Currently, it is not. It's not in the law that says that they have to have parents on these boards. But if people participating in School Justice Week decide that this is a issue they want to fight for, you know, there's nothing stopping them or stopping us from working toward that being something that goes before the legislature next year. Mm. So, you know, that's the way School Justice Week is scheduled to operate is we're going to present some information. We want to hear from you what are the things that concern you, and then we will brainstorm next steps together about how to solve those problems. Because we know that solutions do come from the community, but too often we are focused on solving a problem for ourselves, just what I need for my child, and not really thinking about somebody else may have that same problem. And so let's work together, because our voices together are much stronger than our voices individually or putting out a problem, here and there. So you may want somebody to be on the Collegiate Academy's board, a parent or a community member. Well, I think they have a few community members, but you may want a parent on that board. But you may have another parent across town at First Line Schools who wants a current public school parent, a current First Line parent on that board. And these two folks could be fighting individually for that, whereas that's the kind of thing that would require legislative change, and we should be fighting collectively for something like that.
Yeah, you're right.
Okay, thank you, Reverend Calhoun. I always thank you for calling.
All right, y'all talking again. Lord say the same. I'll see y'all tomorrow night.
Okay, then. Well, let's give the pertinent information out about tomorrow night, where it's at, what's going to be going on, because I think we need to do that about two or three times.
Absolutely. So School Justice Week is beginning tomorrow, October 22nd, 23rd, and 24th, each evening from 6 until 8 p.m. We'll be at 2475 Canal Street in the first floor conference room. But please don't just show up. Please call 504-365-3006 to register. I can register you over the phone, or I'll email a link to you, and you can register yourself online. That way we'll have accurate counts for ordering food and making sure we have enough chairs set up for everybody. On Tuesday, the 22nd, we have Dr. Kristen Burris. We're talking, what are the lessons learned? Dr. Burris recently had a paper published in the Berkeley Education Review called New Orleans Education Reform, A Guide for Cities or a Warning for Communities? And she will be talking about some of the grassroots lessons learned. We'll hear a report from the Raise Your Hand campaign from VALA, the Vietnamese Young Leaders Association. And that's not just an organization for students out in the East, but it's students who care about what's going on in the public school system. And they have done their own research to hear from other young people about what are their issues. The New Orleans Education Equity Roundtable will also be presenting a video that talks about how we got here in terms of what's going on with our public school system. We'll be collecting information from the participants about their areas of concern if they have not already given us that online. And even if you're not planning to attend and you want to submit your areas of concern, still give us a call and I'll send you the link, and you can leave that information when you register. On night two, it's called Making Change, the Parent Toolbox. We have lots of information on night two that parents can use that's going to be very helpful to them. We will have the Urban League talking about their hand-in-hand report, parents' rights and the school's obligation under the Title I Parent Engagement Law. We'll have the Orleans Public Education Network open. Open is going to talk a lot about the One App, about the new diploma track. Pyramid will be there talking about questions parents should ask when searching for a school if you have a child with special needs. Urban League is going to also talk about their guide to high school and beyond, how to choose a high school. And the Southern Poverty Law Center will be there talking about parents' rights if you have a child with special needs and how to advocate. And they will be presenting the Juvenile Justice Project, JJPL's information about school discipline, those suspension and expulsion rates. We're also going to have a student video from VALA talking about their issues that students have experienced around discipline, and there will be some information there from Vela around language access issues in their current Department of Justice complaint. On night three, we will have, we're calling night three a call to action. What does educational justice look like to you? And this is where we will hear from all the different organizations that have come together as co-sponsors and even some organizations within the community who are working on some of these current issues. They'll tell us what it is they're doing and how you can get involved with their organization. We'll discuss actions moving forward, whether it's legislative action or whether you want to work with one of those organizations on one of their current campaigns, or you may even propose some idea that the group may decide, oh, that's a great idea, let's work beyond this meeting so that we can move forward. You know, we're not meeting just to meet. This is planning actions for the future in terms of solving some of the problems. So if you're interested in participating in one or all three nights, please call the School Justice Line at 504-365-3006 and get registered for these events. And I'm really excited about it because I'm seeing new faces or new names of the people who have started registering so far, which means that we're reaching more people than the current soldiers on the battlefield. We have some of our current soldiers on the battlefield but this shows me that there are people who are concerned, and I'm always excited when I see names of people I don't know because those are new people to engage with.
Now, let me ask this question. Why don't you go over the sponsors of this? Look like you got a large group of different community groups that are involved in this whole project and that serve the community in a lot of different ways.
Absolutely. So the School Justice Week is a project of the New Orleans Education Equity Roundtable, and we have several co-sponsors: Sixth Baptist Church, Pyramid Community Parent Resource Center, the Urban League of Greater New Orleans, the Southern Poverty Law Center, the Vietnamese American Young Leaders Association, Juvenile Justice Project of Louisiana, the Orleans Public Education Network, Families and Friends of Louisiana's Incarcerated Children, the New Teachers Roundtable, and the Community Education Project of New Orleans.
Wow. So, a lot of different groups.
Yeah, we really wanted to work with various organizations in the community because we knew that these organizations were working on particular aspects of some of the issues that we get calls about. So it only makes sense to partner with them so that they can bring their expertise and their information to the table. We never profess to have all the answers, but I really see the New Orleans Education Equity Roundtable as connecting people with problems to organizations and other people who are working with those problems so that folks can work collectively to try to solve these problems.
Yeah, as I think about the school year that and the kinds of things that we get on this program, and you have a component, I think it's on Wednesday, where you talk about the One App, and that is really it's just been implemented over the last 2 years, I think. I think the Orleans Parish was in it, now they're out of it. But, you know, it has been really, really problematic for parents. And could you maybe talk about that and what kinds of challenges parents are experiencing? Because we've had some phone calls on here.
Yes.
I think when you were on the air, too.
Yes. Open, the Orleans Public Education Network will be presenting some information on One App in addition to information on the Diploma Track, Common Core, and their recent Kellogg report. But some of the problems I've experienced from the School Justice Line with One App is parents would have a school that they received a letter for their child to attend, even though they never put that school on their One App.
School choice.
basically, the parents' choices, for whatever reason, were not granted. Maybe the schools were full or what have you. But it's a problem if you live on the West Bank and they give you a school all the way out in New Orleans East for your elementary age child, and that's not even the school you put on the One app.
No. Wow.
And it's also important for parents to understand, sometimes people call wanting to get their child in a school that isn't in the One app program, because it is a charter school that doesn't have to participate. You know, some of the Orleans Parish charter schools, OPSB charter schools, are not participating, and I don't see them ever participating. They're currently in their application process as we are in October.
Yeah.
And the One app doesn't start until, I think last year it was in March when folks started applying. So it's important that people understand who's in and who's out. And they'll be able to get that kind of information when they come out to on that Wednesday night, our parent toolbox night.
Yeah, and you know, in listening to you know the workshops or seminars or presentations that you're going to have, you know, those are going to be very informative. But I also think that people do need to understand that some of the problems that we're having has to be solved legislatively.
Absolutely.
You know, and, you know, because we, you know, I think that this, and I think what, you know, the, with the kinds of, you know, questions and concerns that I hear on the New Orleans imperative, it's very, very clear that we have to make some changes relative to legislatively to make this system work a little bit more smoother and more parent friendly. Because, you know, in many cases, it's really not parent friendly, you know. The situation, many parents feel like if they say anything in those schools, their kids are going to get kicked out. And so, therefore, they're scared to say anything. Where are you going to find a school in the middle of the year, you know? So we really, you know, there's really an atmosphere and an environment here in New Orleans where, you know, that the parents are not valued in terms of, you know, their children's needs and those kinds of things.
Well, you know, it's really interesting. You know, this is supposed to be the era of school choice and reform in New Orleans. But I have been advocates for parents whose children with special needs who've left this system because they've tried out, you know, 4 or 5 different schools. And they're like, you know what, I'm not going to keep moving my baby. And I was last night I had an event at my house and I was talking to the mother and father of a 5-year-old. And they said, you know, we're homeschooling because we just can't put our child in this mess. So with all the so-called reform, we still have parents who, after making the choice to move back to New Orleans after Katrina, are choosing not to use this system. And, you know, I read somewhere this weekend that the numbers are actually increasing at those younger grades of more people coming in. But you really need to look at who it is that's coming in and who it is that's leaving,
mm-hmm.
In terms of the racial demographics. Mm-hmm. So I think that perhaps we have created a system that is more welcoming to middle-class white folks. And for parents whose children need a more creative educational environment or an educational environment that doesn't feel like a prison.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, some people are choosing to exit this system. And sadly, I know of a few children who with special needs who are, you know, the parent just said enough is enough. They just, the child's not in school at all anywhere.
It
just gave up.
Yeah, yeah. And I know there have been some issues, you know, some complaints that have filed. But, you know, I just think we've got to get a resolution to that because the real purpose of public education is to prepare kids to participate politically, socially, and economically in our society. And when we have a system that eliminates kids indiscriminately, and is not providing that kind of service to the general public, then we have a problem because, you know, it's not public education then, you know, as I defined it, you know. And I don't think that we should ever have a system that moves away from that definition.
You know, as we mentioned, we have parents who are just going through all kinds of challenges, especially when it comes to suspension. And there's an organization that's not as a co-sponsor of the event, but they're going to be there on Thursday. It's an organization called Stand Up for Each Other. And it's a group of law students who have been providing a service of helping people with appealing suspensions and expulsions.
Okay.
And they're going to come out on Thursday to talk about what they do and if you should need their assistance, how to get involved so that you can get that help. Because we have got to stop this outflow of children. You can't just push children aside because you don't want them in your school. And I'm very thankful that we have an organization like Stand Up for Each Other out there helping to get these kids back in school.
Okay. Well, let me ask this question. And I'm going to ask a couple of questions, and you can tell me, how can you help me with this School Justice Week? And you know, we've gotten this on the air, so to speak. You know, I applied for the One app, and then I applied for, I get a school that, you know, is an F school. Right. And maybe the answer is not this week, but it happens every day, you know?
Yeah.
So what do you tell a parent in that situation? And I think, you know, the federal law says that with no child left behind, that, you know, if a child is in an F school, you know, that child has a right to go to a school that is performing. But are we able to satisfy that?
Well, in terms of, you know, helping that parent get a school that's not an F school, you know, we don't have a lot of control over what school options that are out there. But what we do, what we can do is help that parent report the fact that the school, you were not informed as federal law required you to be informed that your school was an F school. Every year, right before the school year starts, these school choice letters are supposed to go out. To parents, this is a different kind of school choice, letting you know that you have a, because your child attends an F school, you have a right to a school that is not a failing school. And last year those letters went out. I actually saw some of them. I didn't see any of the letters for this year, but there are some schools on that list. And parents need to understand, oh, there are some schools that no longer have a rating, but they're still an F school. And technically, they should be on that list. And what I have encouraged parents to do is to get in touch with the state, even though the state is driving this, and let them know, look, I did not get this letter. But more importantly, as we go into the next round of One App, I know the federal guidance for putting together common enrollment systems like One App says that if the district knows that there are certain schools that are kind of on the line that more than likely will be identified as failing schools right before the new school year, they can give those parents preference in the One App, which happens in the spring. So if you know that the school your child is in is an F school, and you really want to get out, you need to put the pressure on the Recovery School District to make sure you get preference in the One App to get your child into a school that has not been identified as being an academically failing school. So, it, you know, how they used to say, or they probably still do say, the squeaky wheel gets the oil.
Yeah, yeah.
Parents speak out, they get help.
So, you know, and I ask that question because, you know, one of the things I want to do, because we're going to be closing in a minute, is that we need some policymakers to come out to this event.
That would be great.
And you know, they need to actually hear exactly the kinds of struggles that parents are going on, you know. And I know they get it in their office, but it would be very beneficial for many of our state legislators, particularly, to, you know, to try to come out and try to get a pulse of what's going on, you know, with many parents who and students who are facing some daily kind of challenges.
Yeah, I would say legislators and school board members, even our BSEE board members. Yeah,
and charter board members.
Right, they need to come in here because sometimes you're only hearing your own PR.
Yeah.
And that does not give you the a full view of what is going on.
Yeah,
so,
yeah,
you know, we definitely encourage all kinds of people to come out to School Justice Week, again, which is happening beginning tomorrow, October 22nd, the 23rd, and the 24th. from 6 until 8 p.m. at 2475 Canal Street in the first floor conference room. But don't just show up. Please call and register. And I see a few folks have registered just as we've been on air.
Great.
Please call us at 504-365-3006. Again, please register for School Justice Week, 504-365-3006. I'll either register you when I return your call, or you can leave an email address, and I will email the flyer with a link where you can register yourself online.
Now, Karen, you're actively involved with Pyramid, which you've been working with for years, and the Educational Equity Roundtable, but you have some other groups on there. When you reached out to these groups and asked them to participate, did they say they were getting the same kinds of problems and those issues that they're getting into their offices or their agencies also?
Yes, the groups are eager to participate because the problems and calls they get have driven what it is they're working on, especially when you think about an organization like the Southern Poverty Law Center, which still has its lawsuit in process against the State Department of Education because they are not providing a free and appropriate public education to children with disabilities. They are constantly updating their lawsuits, so they would love to hear from more parents who feel that their children's rights are being violated in the public school system. Over at Pyramid, we are more than happy to connect parents to some of the workshops that we provide so that parents can learn the tips and tools on the most effective ways to advocate within a system, especially a system that looks like our system. The Urban League and Open, they have current campaigns around various education-related initiatives. So, yes, these organizations, the New Teachers Roundtable and Community Education Partners Project, they have an upcoming conference next month that they would love to share information with you where they're connecting, the education reform and the culture of New Orleans And if folks don't know about the New Teachers Roundtable, it includes a lot of young people, parents, and community members, but a lot of young people who are former Teach for America teachers. So if you're a Teach for America current or former teacher, we'd love to have you come out so that you can get a better picture of how your work is impacting parents and students in this system.
So, really in addition to giving parents answers for this event, it also gives parents resources to go to and toolkits and organizations that they can go to get some help from, too.
Yes.
Because many parents don't know that there are organizations that are, providing that kind of assistance, correct?
And that is why we're calling, night two, the parent toolkit.
Okay.
Because you will literally walk out with information that you can use, tools or things that you can use to fix the problem.
Gotcha.
And we'll also give you a link. We're going to put some of these resources online so that you'll have access to some of the handouts and things. If you are not able to come, but you really want to work beyond the School Justice Week with some of these groups, please call to register. Even though you're not going to attend, there's a spot on the registration form that says I'm not planning to attend, but I am concerned about these areas. And that way we'll know what areas you're concerned about, and we can connect. Still, we'll have your contact information. We can connect you to the groups that are working on those areas. So it's so important to call 504-365-3006, leave a phone number and an email address, and we will get back to you today.
And also, let me also state that periodically during the next year or so, we will have several of these groups that will come on air and offer those services again to parents who are going to be participating in this School Justice Week. And could you give that information? I'll give it this time. Let me give it this time, right?
Yes.
Yes, the School Justice Week will be held this week. Is this Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, October 22nd, 23rd, and 24th. And it's held at 2475 Canal Street, first floor conference room, from 6 to 8 p.m. That's on Canal Street, right across from the old Pan American Life building and the old City Hall annex, where they're building the VA right now. That's 2475 Canal Street, first floor conference room. Starts at 6 and ends at 8. Please register, and that number to register at is 365-3006. That's 365-3006. And on Tuesday night, there will be a keynote speaker and events that will be going on tomorrow. On Wednesday is Making Change, the Parent Toolbox, Get Tips and Tools to Make Your School Work for All Children. And on Thursday is Justice for All, and just exactly what does educational justice look like, and where you can connect and meet various organizations and individuals that are working with parents and trying to make their children's educational experiences fruitful and make sure that it's a great learning experience. So once again, School Justice Week is tomorrow night. Through Thursday, 2475 Canal Street, first floor conference room from 6 to 8 p.m. Now, Karen, could you share with the listening audience, if I miss it again, what should I do if I can't make it this week? You know, who should I get in touch with? You know, if I want to get in touch with Vela or the Southern Poverty Law Center, you know.
We make it easy. Just call the school justice line.
Okay, all right.
And the school justice line is 504-365-3006.
Good.
And we could send you a link so that you can leave all of your information and those areas you are interested in, even though you're not planning to attend the event, but we would have your contact information so that we can share that with the other organizations, and we'd love to hear from you.
And, you know, it's 6 o'clock now. You know, you all are going to provide me a little nourishment.
We will feed you. That's
okay.
Why we need all you
right.
to register.
Okay.
You know, if you just show
well,
up,
you know, we
there's
ask
no
those
food
kinds
for
of questions.
You. I would say, wait, you didn't register, so you can't eat. No, I'm not going to do that. But, you know, we need to order the food, and we really want to make sure we order enough food for everyone. So please register so that we can order enough food.
Yeah, well, I want to congratulate the Educational Equity Roundtable, which I am a part of, and also you, Karen, for coordinating this event, and also the following organizations: the Pyramid Parent Community Resource Center, the Urban League of Greater New Orleans, the Sixth Street Baptist Church, Southern Poverty Law Center, Vietnamese American Young Leaders Association, Juvenile Justice Project of Louisiana, Orleans Parish Educational Network, Family and Friends of Louisiana Incarcerated Children, the New Teachers Roundtable, and the Community Education Project for putting this together and providing these services, because there is such a need out there, and so many parents are looking for answers. And, you know, this particular program will be open for you guys to come back and talk about those toolkits again, particularly as these challenges come up, particularly when the One app comes. We're definitely going to need you to come back on the air to do that. But thanks again for the great work that you're doing. This program will rebroadcast on the New Orleans Imperative.org. That's the New Orleans Imperative.org. For the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about several issues that are in the educational landscape. Particularly, we're going to be looking at the issues with the Orleans Parish School Board, with the minority set aside, and what kinds of issues those are presenting. And we're going to have some very interesting conversations that's going to be going on for the next few weeks, and also some interviews from some recent people who have done some great articles and studies on the school district and the public education landscape, drastically changed public education landscape down here in New Orleans. We would like to thank those people that support this program: Metro Disposal, Richard's Disposal, the New Orleans Educational Equity Roundtable, and the Fallbrook St. Rock Improvement Association, and the Wisdom Reception Center. Once again, this program will rebroadcast on theneworleansimperative.org. That's one word, theneworleansimperative.org. And by the way, if you missed a program last week or week before last, that particular website archives it so you can listen to it at your leisure. because sometimes it's difficult for people to listen at 10 a.m. Please stay tuned for Talk What You Know with Reverend Littleton's and Reverend Jones. And thank you for listening to New Orleans Imperative. And don't forget School Justice Week tomorrow through Thursday, 2475 Canal Street, first floor conference from 6 to 8 p.m. Have a great week, and thanks for listening to the New Orleans Imperative.